Well, in tallying up the impacts from the COVID pandemic, it's been pretty staggering to see on some of the government programs that are very important for a lot of Americans. Of course, Social Security has been an issue for quite some time in terms of funding. And earlier this week, a government report looked into when the money might be expected to run out in the year 2033, a year earlier than what had been previously projected due to the impacts here around COVID. And for more on that, I want to bring on our next guest, Bill Arnone, National Academy of Social Insurance CEO, joins us now on the phone. And Bill, I mean, when we look at it, you know, there are a lot of still concerns and question marks around costs associated with COVID. But what's your reaction to maybe seeing that pull forward in a year now when the money is expected to run out?
Well, first of all, I think the key word in the Social Security trustees report is the word uncertainty. There are still more questions than answers in terms of what is the long range impact of COVID, the pandemic, and the economic recession. But there is a misunderstanding of the role of the trust funds when words like insolvency, bankruptcy, depletion are used. People think that's the entire Social Security program. It's not. The bulk of Social Security's funding comes from dollars that come out of our paychecks and matched by our employers. Worst case, let's say that in 2033, there is no more trust fund. That doesn't mean Social Security is gone. It means that the benefits that are to be paid that year will have to be cut across the board by 25%. Now, that's not good. I don't want to minimize how bad that is, but it's not zero. I think people have to keep it in perspective that the trust fund is not the sole source of Social Security financing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, cutting it across the board by about 25% obviously wouldn't be good. But when you think about the question marks that still remain, a lot of it comes down to, at least when you look at the Medicare kind of side of this, similar issues around it. I mean, how much money is expected for long-haul COVID and maybe some of those lingering health impacts? I mean, even though this report's shedding new light on the timelines for these funds, how difficult does it become to have any sense of what the costs are going to be?
Well, that's what the Social Security trustees and the actuaries do, and they do it with a pretty good track record. But the bottom line is something must be done, and their recommendation every year for the past 5 years has been the longer we wait, the more difficult the action becomes. So this is another wake-up call for Congress and the administration to make Social Security a front-burner issue. The sooner you deal with it, the less pain there will be. And I think that's the message I would say is the takeaway. Congress needs to act sooner rather than later.
There's also another, I guess, other piece of this, too, which is an added cost of living adjustment for 2021. That was a 3.1% upward adjustment. That was the highest that we've seen in a decade. So maybe some of those kind of lingering inflation fears around all this. I mean, how does that maybe change the picture, too?
Yes. In fact, Social Security's biggest risks in terms of its financing are, God forbid, we go back to the days of stagflation, high unemployment and high inflation. Some of your viewers might remember the 70s. We hit double digits. That is that killed Social Security's financing. So high inflation, if it is accompanied by high employment and high wage increases, then the system can weather that. And that, I think, is the important thing to keep people's eyes on. But I must say, a lot of people, I think, are very confused. So one of the things we try to do at our academy is approach Social Security based on facts, not politics and not ideology. So I encourage people to go on our website, nasi.org. They can get a Social Security primer and a brief that translates the jargon and the dense trustees report into things that the average person can understand.
Yeah, and that's important, too. Obviously, when you think about maybe the generational divide here, too, there's a lot of millennials out there who just aren't very confident that this program is going to be around by the time any of us really get to retirement age. I mean, what would you say about kind of the confidence as it's waned as we see reports like this kind of bringing the pull forward and when insolvency would hit?
And as the father of a millennial, I know firsthand her skepticism. And I think every generation has to kind of have their moment of truth with Social Security. Do they want it? Do they think it's important? Millennials in particular will need Social Security because they're missing something their parents or grandparents had, and that was a good old-fashioned traditional pension. They're in jobs that don't have pensions. They've got 401k plans, so they're going to need Social Security more than any other generation, and they are the biggest generation in history, so they have a lot at stake. And then the generation after them, Generation Z, has a lot at stake too. So they need to know more. And again, the more they know, the more they'll be able to make the case for why Social Security has to be there for them and their willingness to support it. So that, to me, you're right, is a very critical aspect of the future of Social Security. Current workers have a lot at stake, and they've got to realize that.
Yeah, maybe something, one thing millennials and boomers here can agree upon there, some of the Social Security issues we've been watching play out. But Bill Arnone, National Academy of Social Insurance CEO, appreciate you coming on here to chat with us today. Be well.